You're listening to DraftKings Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Let's go out into the other room here where Jeremy Taché, I don't know if you can see this, Stan. I hope that you can. Jeremy has a scenario where you see what's happening with Jimmy Butler. You see what's happening with Pat Riley. Pat Riley telling him if he's not playing, you need to shut your mouth. Let's go.
This looks good.
Yeah, let's go out to Jeremy here, who's got the plan for the Miami Heat going forward. This is how they acquired Donovan Mitchell. Let's go ahead and show Stan how this works, Jeremy. Go ahead and take us through this.
This will be good.
Well, it's time to just set up a narrative, Dan, because we have some similarities happening here between the departure of LeBron James from Cleveland and Donovan Mitchell. We're talking about a player in year seven of their career, year seven, playing in Cleveland. Well, what's going to happen at the end of that season? They go out sad at the hands of an overwhelming Boston Celtics team. For LeBron, it was the big three. Now it's Tatum and company for Donovan Mitchell. That Celtics team, by the way, beating the Heat in the first round of the playoffs. But let's go back to the draft classes of each of these players. LeBron James with the Cavaliers. Who was his best friend in the league? Fellow draft classmate, Dwayne Wade. Ooh. Drafted by the Miami Heat. Donovan Mitchell, best friend in the league? Bam Adebayo from the same draft class. So what happens? They become besties over their years in the league. This is happening 14 years apart. And what ultimately happens with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade? Well, you head to Miami, where they form a big three with Chris Bosh, who was already going to be there. And here, a future big three in Miami of Donovan Mitchell, Bam Adebayo, and Jimmy Butler.
Excellent detective work. Stan, your thoughts there on Jeremy doing that and also everything that happened with the Heat this week, where Pat Riley tells Jimmy Butler, if you're not playing, you should keep your mouth shut.
Bison Dele.
Well,
oh, wow.
First of all, on Jeremy's thing, that's all well and good, but LeBron James was a free agent. So that's sort of, and Donovan Mitchell is not.
He was
so that
traded.
Sort of changes.
LeBron James was traded to the Miami Heat.
Depleted us of draft.
He was, but because he was a free agent. So
don't ruin it. He did all these. He did this whole thing, the string theory thing.
He did a great job there. The second thing I would say is, let's not look. Donovan Mitchell, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, really good players. But let's please not put them in the class of LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. Please,
my man.
I mean. Let's stop right there. And what Pat Riley said is, you know, what Pat Riley said, like, you know, that Jimmy shouldn't be talking if he's not playing and they need him to play more games. I mean, both things seem rather obvious to me.
I loved what you said about this front office not it has to stop putting Eric Spoelstra in this position where he has to be some sort of miracle worker every postseason. They need to help him out. They've failed countless summers now in acquiring not just a major piece, but pieces that can really help. And they're going to other teams in the Eastern Conference. They got to do something because what he's working with, no slight against him because it's been amazing, is not enough.
No, it's not enough. And if it weren't for him, I think there would be a whole different narrative surrounding the Miami Heat. But Eric's able to always get the most out of his team and get the most out of individual players. And so they end up very competitive at the end of the year. Now, this year, it got to the point with Butler being out in the playoffs where they didn't have enough to even be competitive as an eight seed. But I think the bigger point which everyone that I've read has hit on, is if they had had guys more available in the regular season, they wouldn't have been an eighth seed. And then maybe they could be doing what New York is doing despite all the injuries and things, because they weren't in quite as tough a matchup. So, you know, the regular season has got to become more important, not to Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley. I think it's always been important to them. It's got to become more important to the players. They've got to be more available, and they've got to put themselves in better position heading into the playoffs.
Thurl Bailey.
Oh, that's a good one.
They don't make Thurls anymore.
Pearl Washington.
They don't. Really?
What is thoroughly even short for?
Tiago Splitter.
Is it short for anything?
Yuri Blob.
Oh, Pooh Richards.
There you go.
Is it Yuri or Uwe?
It's Uwe Blob.
Oh, it's Uwe.
Yeah,
yes.
It's not
Uwe.
Yuri Blob.
Pooh Richardson.
Nemanja Bjelica. It's a W in the middle.
Stan, I am nervous about my New York Knicks. They are up 1-0 against Indiana, but it seems like, because they're so limited off the bench, it seems like Jalen Brunson has to score between 40 and 50 every single night, and they're all playing, the five starters, 40-plus minutes every single night. I am nervous. Soothe me.
Well, they don't all play 40-plus minutes. Hartenstein only played 36 minutes the other night in – for the New York Knicks, that's called load management, 36 minutes. You know, Josh Hart, we were laughing on the broadcast. That's his third playoff game the other night where he's played every minute. One of them was an overtime game where he played 53 minutes. So he played 48 minutes in game one against Indiana and did our between quarters interview, which is normally for someone that's out of the game. But in New York, if you're limiting yourself to interviewing players that are not going to be in the game, we'd be talking to Charlie Brown or something, you know. So, yeah, these guys play a lot of minutes. But here's the thing. If you look at what they've done in the playoffs and people keep waiting for them to wear down, they've been at their best and even at their most energetic in fourth quarters. I mean, if you look at their seven playoff games, they have 44 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter. They have 51 in the other three quarters of those seven games combined. So this team gets stronger as the game goes on. Obviously, highly conditioned, tough guys with a lot of resolve. And yeah, this team's going to be tough to beat. But Indiana's very good. I mean, it's not like New York blew them out. And I don't know that New York has enough to blow a lot of teams out. The games are going to be close. New York's been good in those situations. I think it'll be a good series.
Vitaly Potemko.
Oh, wow.
Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes said that Halliburton is not a number one, that Siakam is not a number one, that Indiana does not have a number one.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. And I think they've done a very good job with that roster. But that's fair. I think that, and their line is, you know, I heard it the other day, we're a true team, and they are trying to do it as a group. They're pretty balanced in the number of shots. Nobody uses their bench more than they do or gets more production out of it. They got 46 points out of that bench the other night. TJ McConnell had 18. Obi Toppin had 12. I mean, so they're playing nine guys, and they're going to try to beat the Stars with nine guys. But I would agree with Matt and Steven on that. There's not a number one guy, and Halliburton's not built that way. Like, he's the leading assist guy in the league, but he's not a guy who's going to try to take over a game. Now, he's got to do a lot more than he did the other night. You can't come in as a 20-point-per-game scorer and shoot six shots in a game where New York's not double teaming you, they're not blitzing pick and rolls. You know, you can't do what he did the other night. I give Dante DiVincenzo a lot of credit defensively, but Halliburton's going to have to get more aggressive.
Thabo Sefolosha.
Kelly Trepiuka.
Oh, wow. Oh, those
are Kiki Vandeweghe.
Oh, look at you. Oh, Hogan.
Just kidding.
You guys are good.
Stan, I got to make fun of you. I really do. Because I say that you're one of the greatest broadcasters doing it these days. And when I asked you that Pat Riley, Jimmy Butler question, your response was, what Pat Riley said is what Pat Riley said. That is shit analysis,
awesome.
My friend. It's just
I got it.
Right,
he's right.
It is. But for reasons that you guys would certainly know. I don't want to get into a lot of Miami Heat, Pat Riley stuff.
All right, so let's do Denver, Minnesota.
After I say Omer Asik.
That's a good one. Let's do.
Remember his Adam's apple? It was massive.
Yes. Massive. He would get you 10 boards if you gave him the minutes.
His Adam's apple was a small forward. Put it on the poll. At Levitard Show, was Omer Asik's Adam apple a small forward? An undersized small forward. Minnesota and Denver, Stan. Is there anything more important in that series than Jamal Murray's hurt?
Well, yeah, I think there is. I think Anthony Edwards' emergence as a true star in this league and Minnesota's overwhelming defense there, their overall size and activity. I give them a lot of credit. I give Tim Connelly a lot of credit putting that roster together. Not a lot of people believed in today's NBA in bringing two centers and trying to play them together. It has worked. I give Chris Finch a ton of credit for making a rather unconventional lineup work. They've just done a tremendous job. But I think that defense and then the emergence of Anthony Edwards as a true star, and then he's got a really good number two guy in Karl Anthony Towns. That is a very, very good team.
Andrew DeClercq.
Wow.
Who matches up best with Boston?
Well, it's going to be one of those two teams. Nobody in the East does.
Cherokee Parks.
You know, nobody in the East matches up with them. But in the West, those two teams can both match up. I mean, and would be interesting series. Those teams I thought were really good to begin with, but I didn't think anybody could dominate the Western Conference playoffs, even in the early rounds, the way those two teams have to this point.
Gar Hurd.
Let's play for Stan Van Gundy. Tex Winter. Let's play for Stan Van Gundy the sound of David Sampson saying what it is that he likes to have for breakfast. I think Stan's going to find this fairly shocking.
And I love the frosted cinnamon, the brown sugar Pop-Tarts. I love the strawberry Pop-Tarts. I love the low-fat Pop-Tarts. Mm. I don't toast them. I eat them raw, put them on top of dry cereal with peanuts and wasabi peas and some sort of spicy mix.
Wait a minute. What?
What? What is he talking about?
Exactly.
Like, on the Pop-Tarts, not the brown sugar ones, the strawberry, very, very good. Don't toast them. I'm good with that. But then he's putting them on top of stuff. Wasabi? What's going on?
Eduardo Najara.
Oh,
Tony Massenburg.
Eduardo Najara is a really good one, Mike. And the reason is, too, that I like that is a lot of the ones we're throwing in there, the first names are actually nicknames. You know, I think we should eliminate the nicknames and go with real names. And Eduardo Najara, as is Omer Asik. You know, we should stick to the
Milt Palacio.
Oh, that's good. Palacio.
Milt Palacio.
But Fat Lever's real name is Lafayette Lever. I actually think that's a better name. It's an upgrade.
It is. I like that. I like Mario Moon. I like Peja Stojakovic.
Oh, that is too. That's a headlining name. You can't do that.
I think he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's too good. Peja's too good.
Oh, okay.
Rashad Nesterovic.
There you go.
Now you're playing the game.
I hear it. I still hear it in Stephen A's voice.
Now, you can't be in two Hall of Fames. Is that what you're saying? You can't be in the Hall of Fame, the Role Player Hall of Fame, and the Name Hall of Fame? You can only be in one
of
them?
For the game that we're playing, you can't be a star player.
Right. You can't. You just can't.
Okay. I got another role player Hall of Fame, Tony Kukoc.
Really?
Yeah, Tony Kukoc.
He might be in the actual Hall of Fame, though.
Yeah, I think he's in the actual Hall of Fame. Yeah. Too good.
Well, again, he wouldn't be in an NBA Hall of Fame, but because of what he did internationally, he gets in the Naismith Hall of Fame.
I think a better guy from those teams is Ron Harper, Stan. Role player.
No, not as good as Tony Kukoc.
Okay, sorry.
Eduardo, he's right, though. It's got a Matador's flourish, a Hispanic. The first name, like Nahara nails the dismount, but the Eduardo. You don't get
a lot of, no question.
You don't get a lot of Eduardos in basketball. Stan, it's nice seeing you. He is doing it better than anybody for TBS and TNT. Follow all playoff basketball through Stan Van Gundy. It is nice to see that smile under your mustache, Stan. Good seeing you.
All right, good seeing you guys.
Howdy, listeners. It's Mike, and you know, a lot has changed over the years. Just look at sports. There's instant replay, a three-point line, there were shifts and then not shifts. But one thing that hasn't changed over the course of all those things I just mentioned, the great taste of Miller Lite. That's right. It's so good. And it's also less filling. So what's the best thing about Miller Lite, the original light beer? Well, Miller Lite sparked this debate way back in 1975. We still haven't settled it. Be like me. I don't pick one. I like it because it's both. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste. Only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Be like me. Say both. Miller Lite. Great taste. And is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Mustard mixes with mayonnaise better than ketchup does.
What?
Yes.
No.
What you've just said is appalling. What you've just said is an offense to anyone who's ever eaten.
Stugatz.
Ketchup. Oh, my God. I don't like it on anything, but...
What?
Ketchup? Yeah.
You're un-American!
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
I don't think Dan and Sue caught Juju saying, I just came.
Oh, my God. It was the funniest thing in the entire show.
What was the name that made you come? There was a name where he just goes, I just came...
It was the rat-a-tat of it all. I was like, whoa, the nipples and the ass.
Did Zydrunas Ilgauskas get on the board?
He's too good.
He's too good.
Too good.
He might be in the actual Hall
of Fame. No, the name. I'm talking about the name. I'm not talking about the role player Hall of Fame or the actual Hall of Fame. I'm just talking about the name Hall of Fame. Mm. This is something, and it's a weird, weird thing, but I know our audience knows this and can do this with their friends. This is one of these strange love languages in sports where friends can get together and just try and top each other with names from their childhood past that make them smile from sports.
Kevin Duckworth.
Yeah, there's this whole meme where there's a couple laying in bed and the woman's like, he's probably thinking about other girls. I'm thinking about J.J. Stokes.
It's the show's wheelhouse, man. Yeah. Joe Barry Carroll.
I'm thinking Detlef Schrempf. Yeah.
It is the way that that one works. I failed to get to something with Stan that I meant to. Can you guys put up on the screen, please?
Legadunane, please. That's what we want.
The name of and the announcement of Darvin Ham being... sent away by the Los Angeles Lakers, Stugatz. I thought to myself, when I saw this news delivered this way, where it's Darvin Ham's very sad face and the word dismissed, I'm like, dismissed is worse than fired. Fired is bad.
Right.
Fired is bad, but all capital letters dismissed feels worse to me as a way of announcing, Darvin Ham, you've not merely been fired, you've been dismissed. Dismissed.
You have to wave your hand.
It feels more disrespectful.
Right.
Fired sounds like cold, transaction. Fired is bad. No one wants to be fired, but you're dismissed. Like, I don't respect you enough to keep you here and merely fire you. I'm dismissing you.
They may as well put in big bold letters, scram.
you can leave now.
You can't trust BR with a graphic, though. Like, if Braxton Berrios signs somewhere, they'll be like, who can stop these guys?
I do feel like they could. What's the next step beyond dismiss? GTFO? Like, what is next that I could put in capital letters? That's,
it's PTFO, by the way. Fine.
Sent packing? Give him the boot?
Did you go for a Pablo Torre finds out joke that didn't make a lot of sense?
Just a good teammate there, you know?
He tried.
Just trying to promote the show, man. Exactly. For a good friend, Pablo. Exactly,
yeah. Hey, Darvin Ham, kick rocks.
That's a good one.
Go sit in the penalty box.
What? Yeah. I mean, the guy doesn't get enough promotion. I was given a promotion.
Heywood Workman.
Yeah, pound sand.
Worst attempt at a joke on a show that has Jeremy on it.
I mean, how do you do PTFO?
After and then you, it was like a joke,
and it doesn't
lesser
even make
joke
sense.
After a good joke. You got a good it nice little even, pop for it.
It didn't even. When it gets later and later in the show, I think, and he gets more and more tired, especially with these drives. Like he's not totally here. There's like 9% of his brain that's not functioning correctly by the time that we crawl toward the finish line with him. Like that made no sense what he just did.
Okay. Yeah, he came up with that all on his own.
I get it.
I didn't feed it to him, which is a major surprise.
Yeah. I mean,
the 9% of his brain.
Billy has not made eye contact.
I feel like we're hitting a lull here, and I think I have the solution to
What's that, Billy?
Ronny Turoff.
Ronny Turoff is good.
Yeah. Man, could he catch a pass? Could Ronny Turoff ever catch a pass?
Guys, guess what time it is?
Against the spread.
That's what it is. Against the Spread is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show.
Here.
DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Love DraftKings.
Who's going first?
I'll start today. Dan, big one on the ice today. Panthers, Bruins. And I know if you've been listening to this show, you've heard all about what DraftKings has to offer, but you've also heard hubbub about Sam Bennett coming back and the difference that this is going to make in the Panthers-Bruins games today. But as Stugatz has mentioned, this year, head-to-head, the Bruins are 3-0-2 against the Panthers. And I think that trend continues tonight. I'm going to take the Bruins +1.5. I don't know that they're going to win the game outright, but I don't think they're going to lose by 2 to the Panthers.
We've got some bad news from the morning skate.
What?
Sam Bennett was not seen out on the ice.
Oh, I feel even more confident now. I'm going to take the Bruins +1.5 against the Spurs.
Why are you going against Roy and Mike on this one? Why are you being someone who is betting against the local team in a game the local team has to have so that we can have a fun weekend of watching playoff hockey?
Well, because I care about the consumer and I care about their wallets. And I'm thinking with my mind and not with my heart. And that's why I'm advising you to go with the Bruins +1.5 against the Spurs. Next.
All right, I'll go next. All right, so, I'm going with the Oilers and Canucks game tonight. The last five games with the Canucks games, the last five Canucks games, the underdog has won the last five games when the Canucks are playing. And the Canucks are currently +1.5. So I am going with the Canucks tonight against the spread.
I'm going to travel to the NHL as well. Wow. You got to dig it. My brother Billy Gill said he thinks the Bruins are going to go +1.5, mm-hmm. you say? I think opposite. I think your Florida Panthers will succeed. I got 7 syllables for you. Matthew Tkachuk, Sergei Bobrovsky, goddammit. Yeah! I'm taking the Panthers.
Wait
a minute. Yeah. The logistics, semantics.
Pay
no attention to the syllable man. Behind the curtain.
Yeah, 7 syllables.
That GD, was that in the 7th?
There's not logistics. It's not semantics. You took God's name in vain.
Yeah.
Bobrovsky by himself took you over the count.
Bob, yeah.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Panthers against the spread. Yeah. Duh.
Are you of the opinion, I just want to be clear on what happened here, that if you wave your hands around and say, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, that we're going to let it go, that you used about 40 syllables where you said 7 for some reason?
Zagaki, Dano. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Juju. Is that it, or do we have anybody else?
Yeah, a little daytime baseball for you if you want to increase that bankroll before the hockey kicks up. The Miami Marlins are playing the L.A. Dodgers. On principle alone, I'm going L.A. Dodgers
again.
What are you doing? You're just taking a giant favorite?
Yeah, it's -120, I think, thereabouts, for -1.5. No. For
Ryan
the run
Weathers
line.
On the mound.
Oh, yeah,
for
yeah.
The Marlins. Ryan it, Weathers.
But baseball could happen.
Baseball happened last week.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen, but, I mean, what are we doing?
What are Look you at doing?
That's right. That's right. That's what we're doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was Stugatz doing?
I don't know. After I mentioned Omer Asik, I could see him drifting off and just visualizing that Adam's apple. I think he just had problems getting back on the train. That is still buzzing over our heads.
Yeah. PTFO. I mean,
Billy, what are you smiling about?
I just, you know, just happy.
That was 8 syllables. I have no idea who Roy picked. I mean.
I said the Canucks.
Hey, no, it was confusing. It was one time. No, you definitely said the Canucks several times, almost too many.
Yeah.
You did get tangled up there.
I didn't know what we were doing against the spreads either.
Okay, that's right good quick. Planning and organization and just the general competence that I've come to associate with this show. You didn't know we were doing against the spread, so you gave that no thought, and now you're asking people
I gave you the reason why.
Hold on a second.
Well, as confusing as it was.
You mentioned the Canucks, and if you want to see the Canucks, Billy Gill, you know what you do? You download the Game Time app. Woo! You create an account. You use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. The terms apply, okay, folks? Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. You can see where your seat is and you can see what your view of the ice is going to be. If you somehow find another price out there that is lower, Game Time will give that price to you plus more. Great customer service. It's what I use all the time. That is promo code DAN. Game Time.
Sheriff Abdul Ryanf.
Yeah!
Folks, listen up. I want to talk to you about PXG and their new Black Ops driver. You no longer have to sacrifice distance for accuracy, for forgiveness. Folks, those days are done. You get both of those things with this new driver because I went to one of their PXG locations and I tested it out myself. And my boy Mike over there, if you're in Fort Lauderdale, you got to go to that location. He took care of me there. It was quick. It was efficient. By the time I got into my car, I had my email where my clubs were going to be sent. I have them now. It is a beautiful thing. What an experience. The PXG Black Ops driver is a breakthrough in driver technology. It's complete total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. It's adjustable to deliver a combined MOI of 10,000. I'm telling you, that is ridiculously high. You got to check it out. The PXG Black Ops driver. You'll be as impressed as I was. Learn more and get free shipping on all the equipment at pxg.com/Dan. Use code Dan at checkout. That's pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan.
Don Levitard. Stugatz.
No falsehood.
Every cup game.
And at what?
This is the Don Levitard show with the Stugatz.
Wanted to bring on the man who has ruined basketball, Stugatz.
Yep.
Kirk Goldsberry is better at analytics than just about anyone in the NBA media. He was a VP of research for the Spurs. He's the chief analytics consultant for USA Basketball. He's got a new book come out. It came out this week. It's called Hoop Atlas, Mapping the Remarkable Transformation of the Modern NBA. And as I mentioned, he is single-handedly responsible for ruining the NBA and drowning it in numbers and data and a whole bunch of stuff that a lot of people are interested in and a lot of people are not interested in. Stugatz chief among them. He is against learning.
Yep.
He is against new information, and the whole sport has changed. Kirk, thank you for joining us. We have a number of different questions. You write a lot about the corner three, so let's talk about one of Stugatz's favorite players, Al Horford. He's taken more than half of his shots from three in these playoffs. How much has the sport changed since Ray Allen shot in game six 11 years ago?
The game has changed a lot. Al Horford epitomizes those changes in a way, Dan. He's a perfect person to bring up. And in my book, Hoop Atlas, there's actually one of the more stunning graphs is Al Horford's three-point activity. Looks like a Bitcoin line graph, man. In a good when Bitcoin's doing well, I should say. You know, it looks like nothing for the first 10 years of his career. In fact, I think he made only like 10 threes in his first 5 or 6 years in the NBA, and now it's virtually what he does. And to me, that sort of epitomizes what's happened to his position group and what happened to the NBA. Al Horford deserves credit for extending his career like Brook Lopez by becoming great at shooting threes, especially corner threes.
We have a couple of charts here of LeBron's shot selection then and now, and this is how players age. He's the oldest player in the league. How has LeBron changed into more of a perimeter player as the three-pointer has come to dominate the league? Let's put these charts up there so that Kirk can explain this and, again, do more to ruin the NBA than anyone has.
Jesus, Dan. All right. So here's what happened. LeBron comes into a league in 2003. Michael has just left, and everybody still wants to be like Mike and shoot a ton of mid-range. LeBron is one of them. His first career bucket is in Sacramento in 2003, and it's a mid-ranger on the right side. That's like his favorite shot, and you can see that on that chart, that he loved that right side mid-range. Fast forward 20 years, and he is virtually a different player, and he deserves a lot of credit. Like Al Horford, extending his career. One of the reasons he's been able to do that is because he has adopted this three-point shot. And if you would have told people in Miami that this guy would be shooting 40-some percent on six or seven attempts a game when he got to Miami, they would have told you he's crazy. But that's exactly what he's done, Dan. And like Al Horford, epitomizes the trends that have sort of taken place during his career. And the other crazy stat about this, he is not a bystander. He leads the NBA in history in three-point assists and has assisted more corner threes than any other player in the game. So Those of you who think this is just about Steph Curry and this three-point revolution, as a passer, LeBron has assisted more threes than Stephen Curry has ever made. So he's helped ruin basketball too.
As somebody, just an accomplice, though, you are
over your data.
You're the chief criminal. That's correct. You're the problem here, not LeBron James. You worked for the Spurs. So, Wembanyama, give us your boldest, most extreme take on what it is you imagine he's going to become.
I think he's going to become the best player in the NBA. That's the boldest take I'll make, but it's going to be different. It's going to look different. He's going to be the best defensive player in the NBA. He might already be there. I'm not mad that Rudy Gobert won Defensive Player of the Year this week, but I think Wembanyama is going to hang his hat on that award for years to come. I think he'll just be so disruptive, blocking five shots a game on an average basis. But then on offense, nobody's going to be able to guard him. Once he gets a little bit stronger and starts to get a better feel for the game and the game slows down for him, he's going to be a problem on offense too. He'll score 40 points a night. Sometimes he'll grab 20 rebounds and he'll block seven or eight shots. It's going to be crazy, sort of like Olajuwon sort of stat lines for the modern NBA. And he has the champ. He has the potential to be the best player in the world and win multiple championships in his career for sure.
We were talking last week, and I was saying that Tom Brady is the standard for people not knowing anything about how to project who's going to be good in all of sports. But I couldn't come up with a close second place to what Jokic has done, where nobody thought he was going to be anything, and then he becomes something that is more dominant than anyone.
Jalen Brunson?
Nothing. Yeah. Okay, yeah, but Jalen Brunson's not an MVP, and Jalen Brunson isn't a multiple-time MVP, and Jalen Brunson doesn't shoot with the efficiencies of Jokic, although he does, for his size, do more. But is Jalen Brunson second place to you when you think of people just totally swinging and missing on somebody who you think is a backup in the second round, and he's better than everybody?
Brunson's a great name. It's more topical than the one I'll throw out, which is Manu Ginobili. He's a big part of my book, but he was picked 57th in the NBA in the late 90s, didn't even make it to the league until 2003. And I think out of 140-some players, Dan, that have played at least 1,000 games, he has the highest winning percentage in NBA history. He has four championships, but to me sort of symbolizes how NBA scouts overlooked international players in the late 90s and early 2000s. But moving it up to today, Jokic is obviously the flagship one, and Brunson is a great other name. But some of these other Knick players are on that list too. I mean, scouting the NFL is very hard. We miss on quarterbacks in the NFL, no matter how you sort of build draft models. Predicting future success for quarterbacks is very difficult. Basketball, you can look at LeBron James or Victor Wembanyama or Anthony Edwards and be like, that dude's going to be very good in the NBA and be pretty confident about that.
When Stugat says Brunson, though, I could say, well, look at him. Just look at him. Physically, look at what he's doing. Okay, that's why they overlooked him, because he's small and yes. I get it.
But he's crafty, Dan. I mean, this is ridiculous. He's averaging 40 a game in the playoffs.
I'm well aware of how well he's doing, but look at him. I can say, okay, he's too small with those Giants. When I see Jokic moving through like a cement mixer and not bothered by everything, I really don't understand how everyone misses on that. Like how at that size, experts can't see. I just don't get it. I'm really mystified by it, because I don't have a comp for someone that size, never mind playing that way, because there's not a comp for someone playing that way at that size, but everyone swinging and missing on someone that size.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And I think, you know, he has out now scored 210 points in his last five games. And, you know, you got to sort of zoom out and be like, the last person to do that over a five-game playoff stretch was Michael Jordan in 1993. And it's staggering what he's been able to do at his size. And it's a credit to him and his footwork. But you want to talk about people who missed on him. The whole Dallas Mavericks organization missed on him. It's just a few years ago they let him walk. Now he's certainly a max player. I'm not saying he's an MVP. We already talked about that. But, geez, he's scoring 40. He's scoring so much. If he scores 40 tonight, nobody will be surprised. And that is wild, given where he came from, his draft status, and even his time in Dallas. And that organization kind of wishes they had him still, I'm sure.
Do you have a theory? Because I haven't gotten a good answer yet on this, and I think you might be a good answer on this. I know that Jalen Brunson and Jimmy Butler are not Michael Jordan. I'm assuming that the reason that they are able to score more than Michael Jordan is because of the way that offense has changed. I'm not assuming that those two players are reincarnations of Jimmy Butler. Can you explain this? I'm sorry, of Michael Jordan. Can you explain it to me? Can you explain to me what's happening there, that the statistics I'm getting from these two guys shouldn't be where they are? Not these two.
Yeah, there are two things. It's the three-point era. So, you know, especially with Jalen, a lot of his offense comes from the three-point line. And if you just transported his three-point stats back to Jordan's era, he would stick out like Larry Bird's dream. I mean, he is using the three-point shot at a normal level for superstars in 2024, but that is padding his stats. I'm not calling him a stat pattern, by the way. And then the second thing, Dan, is this heliocentric movement that has taken over the NBA in the 2020s, which is NBA offenses have never been this concentrated around the best players, perimeter players specifically, in the NBA's history. We're commonly seeing usage rates in the mid-30s for players like Brunson, who leads the playoffs in usage rate. For those out, that's a little bit nerdy. That's a fancy way of saying a ball hog. But NBA teams are happy to just rinse and repeat actions with their best players in ways that we haven't seen from guards in a long time. And that explains why we're seeing such wild box score numbers from players like Jalen Brunson.
Kirk, the comparisons of Anthony Edwards to Michael Jordan, a bit premature, right? Ridiculous.
Don't compare anybody to Michael for Thank a variety you. Of reasons. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Anthony Edwards is 22. And even when Michael was 22, he wasn't scoring like this and just dominating. So Anthony Edwards is his own player. He deserves to be treated as such. And in the business we're in, everybody wants to compare everybody to everything. We've already done it three times in this conversation. So I can see why it happens. Anthony Edwards is an absolute phenom. And I love the – I just can't believe he's 22, Stu Gatz.
Let's play for Kirk some sound from Austin Rivers that caught fire yesterday on the Pat McAfee show. Listen to this.
I can take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA.
Whoa. It's because you only allow five on the court. Let's all relax.
It's because you get a break every play. All you got to do is catch the ball and run north or south.
Listen, our sport.
It ain't complex. So,
your thoughts there, Kirk.
That's sports radio.
That is great sports radio. Stu Gatz got the producers here. I tend to agree with Austin Rivers, but I have a more of a respectful tone. I think the NBA has a lot of the best athletes in pro sports, and if they devoted their lives to it, they could thrive in the NFL for sure. And I think we have a few examples from history that can prove it.
Stanislav Medvedenko. Who do you have for MVP this year, brother? You have Jokic, SV, what's with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, or the other guy?
Please say the other guy.
Regular, definitely the other guy. Regular season or playoffs, the way this Denver-Minnesota season is going, I reserve the right to make sure that everybody in the audience knows the NBA MVP award is a regular season award. And I feel like Nikola Jokic was the most valuable player this year. But Anthony Edwards and Jalen Brunson certainly look like the most valuable players of the postseason so far.
It wasn't too long ago that the NBA was reputed to be an innovator, not afraid to change the game in ways that would make the game a little bit more appealing. Does the NBA need to change the game some because you ruined it?
Yeah, it does, Michael. It's time to move the three-point line, especially the corner three, which is the most boring shot. It's the smartest shot in basketball, but you know what else? It's boring. Nobody wants to see PJ Tucker over there. Nobody wants to see Malik Beasley doing that. We want to see Anthony Edwards dunking, breaking guys down off the dribble. We want to see LeBron dunking. We want to see the best players making the best plays. And simply put, Michael, the corner three has become too easy for too many players. It's 1 in 10 shots in the NBA now. Nobody wants to see that number. And every time somebody shoots a corner three, it's something else that's not happening. So that shot shouldn't even exist. If you look at the basketball court, the corner three is 22 feet from the basket. Every other three-point angle is 24 feet or so, 23.75 to be precise. And it's time to get rid of the corner three, in my opinion, Michael, and open up the game to more athleticism. Try to breathe some life back into the mid-range where Michael Jordan and Dirk Nowitzki and Kobe Bryant all sort of made us swoon with that kind of game. That's absent now in large part because we're just hunting corner threes over and over again. So it is time. In every other league in the world, from the WNBA to women's college basketball to men's college basketball to FIBA, has moved their line back this century. The one that hasn't is the one with the best players. Tell me how that makes sense.
The book is available now, Hoop Atlas, Mapping the Remarkable Transformation of the Modern NBA. We thank you for your time, and we leave you with this video and photograph of the Jokic action figure. There it is, Stugatz. Are you enjoying the Jokic action figure? It is about time. He deserves his action figure. There he is, just laughing at everyone in the NBA for thinking he wasn't going to be any good. And then he's Wilt Chamberlain. Thank you, Kirk. We appreciate the time, sir.
Anytime, Dan. Thank you.
Howdy, listeners. It's Mike. And you know, a lot has changed over the years. Just look at sports. There's instant replay, a three-point line. There were shifts and then not shifts. But one thing that hasn't changed over the course of all those things I just mentioned, the great taste of Miller Lite. That's right. It's so good. And it's also less filling. So what's the best thing about Miller Lite, the original light beer? Well, Miller Lite sparked this debate way back in 1975. We still haven't settled it. Be like me. I don't pick one. I like it because it's both. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste. Only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Be like me. Say both. Miller Lite. Great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.